It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me tonight, Mike Coffey from NDNation.com. And for the first time in our illustrious, what is it now? I don't even know, 12-year career, 13, at whatever least. It is. We're at coming least. To you live with a video feed for the first time, Mike. So this could be a rough go for us.
Yeah. That's,
just hang in there. Follow my lead. It's probably going to lead us over the
Now court. They know not only... Now they know not only are we stupid, we're ugly on top of it. So
yeah, that's all right. So the cat's out of the bag.
Whole package here.
What's interesting with this approach, Coffee, is just to be able to kind of go through some of the replays in the game and the things that kind of jumped out at us, which usually we talk about anyway. But now we got a little bit of a visual to go off of. So let's kind of start right there. I guess in general, just in terms of your general thoughts on the game, yeah, it wasn't exactly what we were hoping for. Is it really anything to be majorly concerned about? We did get the win, but, you know, do you chalk it up as just that? It's just, hey, man, you take whatever you can get in this weird season we're at. Or do you think this is the beginnings of some major concerns?
Well, the defense played well overall, so that's certainly a positive. Now, the problem with going up against teams that in the preseason were supposed to be great, you know, have athletic ability and, you know, are just so many pieces away from, you know, maybe just getting off to a bad start is bad for them. But if those teams ever start putting things together and start looking good, it makes you look bad in relation to them. Like, look at what happened with Florida State and North Carolina. Florida State just suddenly, like, everything suddenly started clicking. It exploded for them, made North Carolina look horrible. Now, maybe this was just Florida State finally coming into their own. Was this last week Louisville starting to come into their own, at least on defense? I don't know.
These are the tough things we just don't know. But I don't know. Let's just hope and believe that this is just a blip in the road. You know, you always have one of those games in the season where things just don't click. Pittsburgh last year comes into mind. You know, just offensively, we just weren't quite there. And there's a few things that we can kind of point to about that. But, you know, let's try it. Let's go to some of the replays that I picked out. And one of them with that concern is just this. You know, Javon McKinley, if you see there, Mike, he actually had it, right?
I mean, he had it.
He's got the ball. It's right where you want it to be. But his, you know, that follow through and that completion is bringing the ball back into your body, something that Claypool was just phenomenal at, right?
I agree.
And it's what separates Claypool, right? Last year, think about that. How many times did he get the ball knocked out of his hands after making the catch? It just didn't happen. He had those strong hands. But the problem Saturday is we saw this, like, man, I want to say three times.
Least three or four.
Yeah, once in the end zone, once there. Now, these are the things that, you know, this is where the improvement's got to come in. He's just got to be able to have that sense of, all right, I know where the DB is. I know where the hand's going to be coming through here. I'm going to adjust my body. I'm going to adjust my hands and move them away from that, right? It just seems weird that three times, that's a lot, you know?
No, absolutely. And those were the jump ball plays that Claypool made so many times. And now, granted, I consider it a weakness in Ian Book's game that so many times we saw receivers having to come back for the ball or go up for the ball, or no one is getting hit in stride. It makes it so hard for yards after the catch. But a receiver like Claypool kind of masked those issues last year because he's just so strong, could really get up there, grab the ball, pull it in, and the defensive backs weren't taking the ball away.
Yeah,
that's what we saw against Louisville. And it just makes an already problematic situation on offense even worse, because now instead of at least getting the possession and the yards, all of a sudden now you're second down, now you're third and long or whatever yards you had. And he's not bailing Ian Book out the way that Claypool did.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of those balls were thrown like right where they need to be thrown, like that one in particular. I mean, it's right there.
But at the very least, he's putting it where either McKinley's going to make the play or it's going to be incomplete.
Yeah,
and it's being put in a place that's not going to actively hurt him. The problem is McKinley's not doing the other half of it, bringing the ball in and getting the reception.
Yeah, and credit to Claypool, because he had that ability to kind of just separate himself, you know, even before the ball's thrown. In terms of the receiving corps, here's what I did like seeing. I mean, Austin is just a physical presence. I mean, he's got that extra oomph just looking at him. And these two plays I picked out. But, you know, obviously there in the end zone, I mean, his ability to get there first, right? Now his toe is barely there. I mean, just 2 inches, right? And that's a touchdown. But it's just a good sign that the physical nature of him and what he's capable of doing, I mean, that's going to add a lot to Ian Book's repertoire. And
I agree, which is why it frustrates. Now, on the one hand, it frustrates me that we're not seeing more of him. I mean, I would have liked for a group of receivers who, I mean, if you listen to Tony Dungy, they seem to be really having problems getting separation. They're really having problems getting themselves open. And with a quarterback like Ian Book, who is much less likely to try to throw a receiver open, he really wants the receiver to be out there ready to make the catch. So you need speed and separation. And it seems like Austin can bring that. The only thing I can think of is, you know, he was injured last year, injured this year, and it could be just a case of building up stamina.
Yeah, reps.
Hopefully,
and all that kind
of stuff. As the games progress, like I hope we see Kevin Austin out there against Pitt for at least like a dozen. I'd like to see a dozen balls thrown his way.
Yeah,
I agree. Let's see what he can do, because by the time Clemson comes in, we're stuck.
We need him full go, and he's got to be in the package. So I think just seeing more and more of him each week would be cool. The other thing I did like, and this is nothing new. I mean, we've seen this a lot, and I've got about 3 or 4 plays of this. But just, you know, you look in this play right here, it's not there. I mean, there is nothing about this play that's there. And this is the difference that really makes, you know, some for us as a team, really separates us when a running back like this can go where there's nothing and then find 3 or 4 yards. And in this case, he actually gets the first down. So that's what's so special about him.
His ability not only to see it, but the ability to react to it. I mean, that hole was there for a second. Not only did he see it, he was able to pivot, change direction, and get there and take advantage of it. So, I mean, being able to see the hole is great. If you can't get to it, that's really kind of
That's pointless. Exactly right.
But he can do both, and that's key.
He can do both, and you saw evidence of it here in this game. And when you add this up over the course of the game, it is huge. I mean, think of all the times when, you know, you got kind of your average running back that's incapable of this. But here's another one where you can just,
you know,
see
all of our viewers are now just marveling at the technical expertise we're showing here with, and they're all thinking, did he record that on his television? Yes. No. Yes, he did.
Yeah, there you go. I think Coffer going to catch some heat that I'm throwing up file manager and double clicking on files instead of having these things ready.
Hey, if it's so easy, all you people can start podcast video things. We're doing our best here.
I think people
think of
would
how much
laugh.
Money you're paying for this.
Yeah, and I think people would be just astounded at how much time you and I spent prepping for this particular show tonight and making sure we can pull this off. But anyways, going back to this play, I mean, what I like about this is obviously the hole's right there, but when he gets through the hole, it's not there, and he cuts right back, and it's just a great – look at that vision on his part to just cut back to the right and slice through there, and there's 6 extra yards. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, it's just amazing to see a guy like him.
You really are the John Madden of your generation. The bang, booms.
But even there, like that cut right there, that didn't look, it didn't really look like it was there, right? I mean, it's, He's coming.
Well, no, it's the opportunity to take the play even further.
Right.
By making that, because if he stays to the left, you've got two unblocked guys there ready to make the play.
Two
probably,
yards.
They're probably right in front of the first down marker.
Exactly.
He cuts to the right. Now all of a sudden he takes advantage of that block. Now he's on the other side of the first down marker, and that just makes all the difference.
Yeah, and
that's
ability.
five, seven yards that he wouldn't have gotten if he just kept going the way he was going.
And again, you start adding this up over the course of the game, and man, that makes just huge difference. You know, here's another one where it's just, and this is the strength of him where he finishes it right. Mm-hmm. You know, this you just see this throughout the entire game, and it just goes to show why this kid is getting the majority of the reps.
Absolutely.
And it just makes sense. And I love Chris Tyree. I think he's going to be one hell of a back. But, you know, just in terms of that ability of him being able to do that, it's big. And
absolutely.
I think moving forward, you know, you're going to see a bunch of this against Pitt. I'll be excited to see plenty of touches for him. I'd love to see Austin get it a little bit more. You know, there was one play that I didn't get I couldn't find it. So that's the only reason I didn't have it with me, but I'm sure you'll remember it. And that was that catch by Mayer where he leaped over the guy, right?
Oh, that was awesome.
Just the pure athleticism of him is just astounding to me. I mean, for some reason, he reminds me of Smarja, but he's a tight end, right? I mean, this is a big guy. And his athleticism
he's a freshman. That's the beauty of it. I mean, with the ability to move like that and the hands that he has, again, they've got to find a way to get him the ball. In an article I was reading, and I apologize, I can't remember which site I was reading it on, but if you're going to keep the tight ends in to block, you have to let them release sometimes, because Mayer putting an initial block on a lineman or a linebacker coming in and then freeing out into the pattern where that blitzing player just vacated, that's a perfect safety net throw for Book. He should be able to make that pass, no problem. So put the ball out there. That's a 5-6 yard gain almost automatically. So they got to do more of that.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, the only criticisms I would have in terms of Tommy Rees, I thought he got a little too QB draw happy, let's call it. There was one particular drive where we ran the quarterback draw, and then literally two plays later, we're inside the 20 and he's running it again. And I just kind of felt like he missed. You know, you have success with a certain play, but you can't rely on it as often as that.
And I agree, but
that was the only thing I saw the whole game.
How much of that is Book calling his own number? Because
one
of the things I really had hoped that Ian Book would have worked through by now, it seems like the slightest amount of pressure, he's looking for his escape valve, or he's looking for the way out. And so instead of being settled in the pocket, going through his progressions, looking for the guys downfield, he feels the pressure, and then immediately his eyes aren't downfield. He's searching around. How do I get out of here? And in these cases, I mean, fortunately, he has the athletic ability to call his own number and get positive yards out of the play, which is great. But, you know, I don't know if Pitt's going to let them do that. I know Clemson's not going to let them do that. So you get too used to bailing yourself out that way instead of maybe trying to make a play where the play isn't obvious. If we're going to beat Clemson, he's got to be able to do that. And it's disappointing that after 3 years, he still hasn't.
Yeah, I'd find it interesting to know if how many of those he actually did audible into. But, you know, the last point I was going to make, here's the thing, Coffee. Literally watched the press conference, and I thought the very first question was going to be this. Like, and then I thought the response was going to be Kelly just falling on the sword, right? Like, hey, guys, sorry, I completely whiffed on this one. It was my fault. Shouldn't have called it. But instead, it was like, no, we saw something. We really thought we had this.
You can't. The thing is, if you're going to call a faked field goal at this area of the field, you're on the 11 yard line. You're the holder is sitting at the 20. You've got all 12 defenders piled up in there. Why are you going to try to run against that? The call there, that's where you need the release. If it's going to be the fake, you need the releasing tight end. And Bramblett, who was a quarterback in high school, needs to throw the ball. That's where the throw needs to be.
Yeah,
you can't try to run it up the gut against a packed in defense when you have 9 yards to go. It wasn't fourth and one. It was fourth and almost 10.
Yeah.
This is, and this is just terrible.
I saw this. I just thought to myself, wait a minute. What are you doing?
Jesus.
You know, it's one thing if it's 3 yards. It's another thing if, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if it's fourth and one, if the line the game was at the 10, okay, fine. Maybe that call makes sense.
Yeah.
The line of the game was at what, like the four or the three? Like you're not going to get to the four or the three with this play.
Running inside the tackles.
God, I was so frustrated because what really drives me crazy is that this was a Brian Kelly 1.0 call. I mean, we were told with Brian Kelly 2.0, all these dumbass coaching decisions are being, it's like going for two a little bit later. I mean, don't chase points so early. I mean,
this is six to nothing right before the half.
If it was six, if it was 9-0 at the half, and then you score that touchdown to make it 15, you're going to kick the extra point there to go to 16. 16-7, that's a great cushion there. Now you're not biting your nails during the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Then, while it was great to see an 8-minute drive to completely wipe the clock out at the end of the game, I loved that part. But you wouldn't be so worried about it if it was a 2 or 3 score game.
Yeah.
You got to put the point. You can't lead points on the field. You got to put them up there.
And he's been good. You know, Brian Kelly has been good, like you said. I mean, ever since the reboot, he has been perfect almost.
Absolutely.
You know, all of this.
Absolutely.
And then this is why I was so shocked. I mean, I was not expecting this at all. It was the last thing I thought I was going to see was a fake.
I'm buying my cardiologist a boat. Jesus Christ. Don't do that.
But, you know, outside of that, I mean, it was, like you say, great way to finish the game. You get the ball with 7 minutes, 55 seconds to go, and you run out the clock. I mean, that's about
that was a Holtzian drive. I mean, and
that is as great as it gets.
Exactly. People have read Indy Nation get, the Harum fullback stuff. Well, you guys only like the ground game. Well, see, that's why we love the ground game. You get the ball with 8 minutes left, and then Louisville doesn't touch it for the rest of the game?
Yeah, that was impressive. Yeah, that was definitely impressive. And you got to give kudos to the, you know, even Ian Book. I mean, Book has been solid, man. He is just, he's a winner, and there's nothing more to say than that. And for him to take that in that big of a moment, drive the team, some huge third down conversions, you know, that's just big. You know, interesting, Coffee, we didn't spend any time on the defense, and it's credit to them because that was one hell of a defensive game.
No doubt.
7 points to those guys in that kind of atmosphere, with all that pressure, huge kudos to that, to the defense. And Clark Lee, again, is just, you know, making a name for himself. These guys are really well coached. Good bounce back game.
He is getting the most out of the players that he has. And I don't say that in that, we have bad defensive players. No, we have good defensive players. I mean, there's holes here and there, but the defense out there, you feel a confidence, not only watching them play, but you as fans feel a confidence to say, these guys are going to go out and they're going to get it done. I mean, now granted, Florida State was kind of iffy, but I mean, you don't know how much COVID was affecting the defensive players. And this is the same Florida State team that just went out and scored 31 points against the number 5 North Carolina. Now granted, I'm not sure North Carolina's all that great, but still, I mean, it's not like these guys are incapable, and teams are going to improve over the course of a season, especially, I mean, Satterfield's a good coach.
Yeah, he is.
He's got good players. Yeah, they're off to a crappy start, but by the end of the season, I expect Louisville and Florida State to be playing pretty good
football. Hey, they didn't turn the ball over at all, so give them credit for that. They played a hell of a game, and it is what it is. Let's segue into that. What's your prediction against Pittsburgh?
I don't know if I've put our pick up on our site contest yet. I'm concerned that, I mean, Pittsburgh has a good run defense.
Yeah.
If I were Narduzzi, I would just stack the line and say, okay, you know what? We're going to make Kyron Williams' life as difficult as possible because we don't think Ian Book can beat us. And it's going to be up to Ian Book to actually beat them, because this is going to be a game where the passing game is going to have to be effective. And if that means more Kevin Austin, if that means Braden Lindsey, who I guess was dinged up last Saturday, that's how it's going to have to happen. I think it's going to end up being 31-20.
Yeah, that's about where I had it. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be 30-23. I think it's going to be a close game, and this is going to be a dogfight. You know, it's interesting. I do think you're right. It's going to be a testament of wills. You know, they're going to come out. They're going to put their package together. And, you know, we're going to put our package together, and it's going to be who wants it more, right? I mean, it's,
exactly.
You know, if we plan on running the football in the first quarter, well, then if we can't execute and run the football, we're going to be in deep trouble.
Absolutely.
If we decide that, you know what, that's not what they're giving us, and we don't anticipate they're going to give it to us, let's put it on Book's shoulders, well, then he better complete some passes in that first quarter. It's going to be a long Saturday, because they definitely have the kind of, you know, defense to hang with us, and all it takes is a couple tips here and there, and you know how it goes. So I expect it to be a really tough game, and it's going to be interesting to watch for us, but hopefully
absolutely
through it. All right, great.
So between now and next week, I'm going to have to get some ND stuff for the walls, yeah, other than the color itself. But, you know, this was...
We'll figure out the transition.
As you said, we spend a lot of time preparing for these episodes, so...
I think all of 3 minutes, but anyways.
Absolutely.
Hopefully that did show. All right, good deal. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, actually visually this time for the first time in a long time.
Pieces made for radio.
That's right. There we go. From a fan's perspective, I'm Mike Brammer. Mike Coffey, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.